Welcome to the Israel Daily News Podcast. I'm your host, Shanna Fold, and I'm here to get you caught up quickly. I've got some top news stories for you today from Israel, and guess what? You're listening, so you're already on top of your game. Survive and thrive, people. Knowledge is the best weapon. Today is Tuesday, April 9th, 2024 in the Gregorian calendar, and the 1st of Nisan, 5784 in the Hebrew calendar. Happy new moon, everyone. Happy new month. Now, let's get to the news. The IDF targeted the Hamas Interior Ministry building in the city of Al-Ma'azi in the Gaza Strip. The strike killed at least three people, including the mayor of Al-Ma'azi. Hostile aircraft alerts were activated in Eilat today, so that's Tuesday. The IDF's Sea Dome naval defense system intercepted a suspicious aerial target, marking its first operational use, meaning the first time that this technology was deployed. There were no injuries or damage reported. Sunday, there was a shooting attack in Samaria, which took place on the bus route number 55 between Azun and Nabi Ilyas, which injured two people, leading to IDF searches for the attacker. A female soldier was injured during this shooting, and she remains in critical condition. The IDF has completed the withdrawal of its ground forces from the southern Gaza Strip, concluding a continuous four-month combat operation in the Khan Yunis region of Gaza. The strategic move reflects a shift toward conducting intelligence-driven raids as a more effective method for combating Hamas. The campaign in Khan Yunis has reached its objectives, achieving significant milestones, including the dismantlement of the local Hamas brigade, elimination of thousands of militants, and destruction of approximately 30 kilometers of underground tunnels. The IDF's future operations will mirror the successful tactics employed in northern Gaza, emphasizing precision strikes based on recent intelligence. Monday, there was a significant update from the Israel Defense Forces. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu appointed Brigadier General Roman Goffman as the new military secretary to the prime minister. This prestigious appointment comes with Goffman's promotion to the rank of Major General, marking a notable advancement in his military career. Congratulations to Major General Roman Goffman on this career advancement. Those news bites you just heard were powered by our new partner, Bernie News Network, or BNN. For fast and precise updates, you can join BNN on WhatsApp and Telegram by going over to their site, bernie.news. Monday night, Israeli Defense Force fighter jets took out Hamas's Emergency Bureau chair, Hatem Al-Ramari. The terrorist killed in central Gaza camps served as an operative in the Al-Qassam brigades and constructed projectile missiles. The IDF also murdered a terrorist in Khan Yunis that was directly involved in the October 7th massacre. An Israeli official has confirmed that Israel is buying 40,000 tents for Rafah evacuees in preparation for the IDF's ground invasion. Israel says it has a plan to evacuate civilians before this offensive begins. Turkey has announced that it is restricting exports to Israel until there is a ceasefire in Gaza. Foreign Minister Israel Katz accuses Turkish President Recep Tayyip Erdogan of prioritizing Hamas's interests over Turkey's economic well-being. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu announces he has a date for the Israeli Defense Forces to launch its offensive in Rafah, the southernmost city of Gaza. In a video statement released on Monday, Netanyahu said, quote, "Victory over Hamas requires entering Rafah and eliminating the terrorist battalions there. This will happen. There is a date," end quote. While the prime minister pledges this, he still hasn't revealed the date. Troops aren't expected to enter Rafah in the immediate future, especially after the IDF's recent withdrawal from Khan Yunis. Israel's international allies are worried about the Rafah offensive as the city is populated with 1.4 million displaced Palestinians. The IDF says it plans to set up humanitarian islands in the center of the city, as well as evacuation sites along the coast. Four Hamas battalions are suspected to be based in Rafah. Israel also believes many Hamas leaders are hiding out in Rafah and are likely holding Israel's hostages there as well. The Times of Israel has a strong piece out today with the story of Nili Margalit, an Israeli hostage who was abducted during Hamas's October 7th attack. She revealed in an interview with a French magazine that she was initially captured by armed Palestinian civilians before being sold off to Hamas in a cash exchange on October 7th. Margalit, touring Europe to raise awareness for captive Israelis, shared her harrowing experience of being taken from her home in Kibbutz Nir Oz and being held in brutal conditions in Gaza. While in captivity, Margalit shared how she utilized her nursing skills to care for her fellow hostages, some of whom were elderly and in need of medication. She described the daily struggles, how elderly people could not see because they didn't have glasses. They couldn't hear because they didn't have their hearing aids. She said she was helping them move around in the tunnels because they couldn't see where they were going. She said that the captives argued. They got into fights. They got into laughs. They chatted. This was all while being held in captivity. She said it was normal when you put 10 people into a room that there's going to be all types of human expressions. And she said that she was doing yoga as best that she could to keep her body healthy while she was being held underground. She said that the day she was pulled out and released, she didn't even have a second to say farewell to the people that she had been being held captive with. She said that they were being fed rice and pita, and that the rice and pita, and there were just small amounts of it, were actually making the hostages sick. Margalit is campaigning about the importance of freeing hostages as a crucial step toward ending conflict. I want to thank all of you for your interest in Israeli affairs, Israeli politics, our world politics. I also want to thank all of you who personally finance and fund the Israel Daily News Podcast with monthly contributions. You can support us with monthly contributions by going over to our website, israeldailynews.org. Our organization is operational thanks to listeners and supporters like you. In response for your contributions, I'll send over a handwritten thank you note to let you know how much we appreciate your support. You can also support us by leaving us a review on Apple Podcasts. Two, you can share the show with a friend. And three, you can follow us on Facebook and Instagram at israeldaily.news, as well as Shanna Fold. My name has two N's in it, and I'm very sensitive about that. You can also find us on Twitter at Israel Podcast. The Israeli Antiquities Authority, or IAA, has discovered a 6,000-year-old ivory vessel made from elephant tusk in an excavation at Horbat Rakik, which is a city near Beersheba in Israel's south. It serves as evidence of ties between Egypt and the land of Israel from about 4,500 to 3,500 BCE. This is the first time an ivory vessel from this time period has been found in the region. The vessel was found shattered in many pieces, but it has been restored in IAA treatment laboratories. Archaeologists at the Horbat Rakik area were uncovering an ancient settlement in 2020 when a man named Emil Alajim noticed the edge of a basalt bowl. The excavation was then expanded, revealing three of these containers stacked into one another. The former Antiquities Authority Department head for the prehistoric era, Dr. Yanir Milevsky, says, quote, "The vessel is 20 centimeters across. It is gorgeous and exceptional in its design. The small side handles are symmetrically arranged, with two handles set into the vessel's neck and two additional handles vertically below them at its base," end quote. The experts wonder whether the vessel was brought to the region fully designed or if the ivory material was sculpted by a local craftsman. Further biomolecular analysis will be carried out to discover where the ivory originated from. The vessel will be displayed this coming Thursday at the annual Israel Prehistoric Society Conference. All right. Well, that is it for today's show. Today is Tuesday, April 9th, 2024. Tel Aviv has a low of 16 degrees Celsius and a high of 22 degrees. That's 61 degrees Fahrenheit for the low, going up to 71 degrees for the high. Subscribe to the Israel Daily News Podcast on Spotify or Apple Podcasts or wherever you're hearing it from. We are everywhere. Don't forget to sign up to our Israel Weekly News Wrap. The Israel Weekly News Wrap is a newsletter with the top five stories coming out of Israel from throughout the week. And of course, with a personal note from me at the top. You can sign up for that at IsraelDailyNews.org. A big thank you goes out to our social media director, Michelle Milner. I'll send you off today with a song called Four Bavot by Ariella Zeitlin, a talented American Israeli violinist who lives here in Israel, and she's cooking up some big stuff that we're gonna let you know about pretty soon via the Israel Daily News. Have a great and productive day.